Welcome to the Network Marketing Heroes Podcast, hosted by 40-year network marketing veteran, author of best-selling books, The 4-Year Career, and Mach 2 with Your Hair on Fire, and world-renowned speaker, Richard Bliss Brook. When it comes to success in network marketing, who better to learn from than leaders who have actually done it? Listen as Richard interviews top leaders and gives you a behind-the-scenes look at how they did it. You'll get incredible tips and duplicable actions you can do right now to build your own 4-year career. Stay tuned after this episode for an exclusive discount code to get 10% off Richard's easy-to-use tools that will help propel your network marketing business to the next level at blissbusiness.com.
Richard Bliss Brook here. Welcome to yet another Bliss Business Hero Call. This is Hero Call number 102. So in the last 3.5 years, I have sought out ethical, wonderful, great role model leaders in the network marketing community that have crushed the 4-year career. Some of them never heard of the 4-year career, but they trust it anyway. And they've done it in a legacy, totally legitimate company, because we don't endorse or promote anything less than that. And so every couple of weeks, I get one of these people, either on the phone or on video, and I interview them so that you all can dive in and listen to their story and their beliefs and their distinctions and their philosophies and their strategies, and you can learn how to do what they've done as well. So, need to give you our disclaimer. The people that we interview on the Hero Call are not average. So when somebody asks me, well, what does the average distributor earn? I pretty much have to say, nothing, probably. Because average people tend to do what average people do, which is not a lot. These are extraordinary people. So we'd like to say don't try this at home, except the point of the Hero Call is try this at home. So these are leading edge, extraordinary people, and no, we're not suggesting that because somebody has done something extraordinary on a Hero Call that you will do the same thing. What we're suggesting is that these people did something extraordinary, so whatever it is you want to accomplish, you can accomplish it. And one of the steps to doing that is study people who are doing it. So on these Bliss Business Hero Calls, you have 102 people that you can study. That's 102 hours of belief building, personal development. Today, we have the one and only doctor. We always seek out the doctors because they bring great credibility to the network marketing profession. We have Dr. Dana McGrady from Florida, who is a Perium. I don't know, Dana, what is your intergalactic starship commander rank in Perium?
I am a 2-star intergalactic crown in Perium.
Awesome! Yeah. Well, I'm sure that's a very impressive rank. And but because there's only 2 stars, it sounds like you've got upward mobility still.
Yeah.
But one of the cool things about Dana's story is she's only been doing Perium for 4.5 years, and she does it part-time because she's still a full-time doctor. And Perium is her very first ever network marketing opportunity. So I'm so excited, and it's long overdue, Dana, for me to get you on screen and have you tell everybody in the Bliss Business community your story. Welcome to the call.
Well, thanks for having me, Richard. I just love you and Kimmy so much, and I'm just really, really happy that you thought of me to have me on, and I'm honored. And so my story is just like most of you listening, I fell in love with network marketing. But I didn't know that's what I was looking for. It found me. And so I was just a happy customer, fell in love with the products. And my mentor, Sonia Magruder, said to me one day, have you ever thought about building a residual income? And that like turned my light bulb on. And I thought, I really don't know what that is. You know, she said, well, it's making money, you know, having an income that comes direct deposit into your bank account every month, no matter what you're doing. You know, and I'm a mom of, at the time, two toddlers, and I had a secret baby on the way that I hadn't told anyone I was pregnant, you know, and I was overwhelmed, working crazy hours. And at the time, I hadn't been able to have a maternity leave with my first two babies. I had, a week after they were born, had to go back to the clinic and bring them with me and have a little nursery at my office. And so having a maternity leave was really kind of what drove me the first year. At the end of the first year, I was, you know, one of the top leaders in the company, and I got an eight-week leisurely maternity leave away from the clinic, just working my network marketing business at home. And it was heaven. It really was.
All right, let's back up a little bit and give people context. Who were you and what were you doing with your life before Sonia Magruder approached you? And so you already said you were a customer first. So how did you get introduced to the products? And you're a doctor, so what kind of doctor are you? And what kind of clinics did you have? Like, give us some background and some landscape.
Okay, so I'm a holistic doctor, a doctor of oriental medicine in Florida. At the time, I had three clinic locations. I had, you know, dreams of writing a children's book for nutrition, children's nutrition. I had a line of organic kids nutrition in the works and wanting to expand to get more practices and hire more doctors. And it was like this empire that I wanted, that I thought I was building at the time, but really it was just overwhelming me. I wanted to do less. I wanted to work smarter, not harder. And so one day I called the number on a real estate sign. I was driving by, my husband and I were shopping for houses at the time, and I just called the number on a real estate sign for a house that I liked, and Sonia Magruder answered the phone, and she said, is this Dr. Dana? And I said, yeah. She said, we have some mutual friends. I've been meaning to come see you at your clinic. And so she made an appointment and she brought in Purium to my office. And so I just started drinking the green shake myself. You know what I mean? I was just a happy product user. And that's when she said, have you ever thought about building a residual income? After I was in love with the products,
How long were you on the products before she said that?
She was very smart about it. She got me on a company business call the day I was only 3 days on the products. I called her and said I was in love with how I felt. That night, she invited me on a call. I didn't realize it was a business call. I didn't know what it was. So she got me on it, you know, just like all network marketers are really good promoters. They would move heaven and earth to get their new people exposed to something, exposed to the vibe, the culture, the excitement, the energy of the company. And so that's what I felt on that company call. I got on and I heard the magic of network marketing. It's the excitement and the contagious magnetism of people really, really excited about what they're doing with their life, being something, a part of something bigger than them. So that was when I got the book.
Did you know about network marketing before she approached you?
I mean, I've been trying to be recruited for everything under the sun. Like, you know, just like everyone else, I guess it never reached my heart. Whatever I was recruited for, other companies, people would try to get me in them, but I didn't have anything that really spoke to me, and I didn't really understand the concept at the time.
So, how did Sonia explain or whoever explained the concept so you got it?
She basically told me about the residual income aspect of it. Build something once, get paid for it for years down the road. I mean, I'm still getting paid today on a woman I enrolled my first week and her whole organization.
Right.
You know, so it's just a really awesome concept. And I saw the time freedom. I saw the lifestyle freedom. And that's what appealed to me.
Beautiful. So one of the things that we know about your numbers is you have been for the last 4.5 years a prolific recruiter of customers and distributors. And so how have you done that? Like, how did you come out of the gate as a brand new network marketer? Who did you approach? And what did you say to people that had them take a look?
That's a good question. So I recognized that before I was only able to see one patient at a time and get paid hours for dollars. And so when I launched my business, because that is what I did, I launched my business. I didn't play small right out of the gate. I made a decision. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to create it. I'm going to treat it like a career change, and I'm going to make it my plan A right out of the gate, and I'm going to launch my business. So I made a decision. That's what a lot of people don't do. They dabble, and they go kind of halfway in, and they're inconsistent, and then they wonder why they don't succeed. So you really have to go full throttle. And I didn't, I mean, I talked to everyone at the beginning. I wrote a really good list, but I wanted influential people. I wanted people with a large network, and I wanted people that were already entrepreneurs. I didn't want to train someone to be an entrepreneur that's not one. So those are the people that I right away made a decision to recruit up, even or up.
And where did you already know all those people?
I became really good at networking through people.
What do you mean by that?
So only one of my top leaders, what I knew her before. Almost all of the top leaders in my organization, I didn't know before. I became a professional best friend. And I just met people through people. So if they aren't an entrepreneur, who do they know that's an entrepreneur? And then really got really good at taprooting down and finding superstars in the levels below.
So if I was somebody that you knew and I'm not an entrepreneur, what would that conversation sound like that you're looking to network through me to find an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I'm looking for business-minded people. I'm looking for people that already get it, that would like to build an online business, that would like a business built on leverage, that would like an opportunity to build a residual income. So those are the people that I want to speak with.
And so what would I do? I would say, well, you should maybe call Sally because she's a realtor, or would I actually volunteer somebody's name, or how would you get a name and a connection out of me?
So it's always, who do you know? And with my company, a lot of companies give you the opportunity to be a customer and be a distributor. And so if you're just a customer, because obviously if you're not a business-minded person, you're not interested in the business, I'm still going to have you be my happy customer because I'm going to fall back on that. And then you can have the opportunity. I'll give you a little bit of fear of loss. And would you like to sign up Sally? Because Sally's obviously a rock star. When Sally hits the top of the company with me, I'd like for you to be standing there with her and for you to make residual income off of Sally's efforts. If you would like to not only introduce me to her, but would like to enroll her, that's up to you. But if not, I'd still love to meet her.
So you use FOMO as a strategy.
I love FOMO. I'm a huge fan of FOMO.
Yeah.
Greatest motivation.
Dana, you built a big team, rose to one of the stars of the company in the first year. And then something happened the second year, which happens, I think, if you stay in network marketing long enough, happens to all of us, sometimes multiple times. What happened to you and how did you handle it?
I mean, a whole lot of things have happened where, you know, in any business, no matter what it is, especially if you want to get good at it, the only way to get good at it is a whole lot of failures. And so there's moments in your career where you're just like shaking your head, like, what did I do wrong? And what could I have done better? Was I a bad leader? And just just like in any company, especially if you're brand new to network marketing, even if you're expanding and growing a team quickly, you become what's called an accidental leader. And so the accidental leader, you have to learn as you fail forward how to be an intentional leader. And so for me, I had two leaders under me that are fabulous women, amazing people, that decided to go with another opportunity. And they were my two top leaders at the time. Wow. And took a whole lot of people with them, obviously. I wouldn't expect anything less. And it just crushed me because my volume dropped, you know, by half in the year after that. And I just had to put my head down, go to work, learn the lesson from it, make it, you know, help to develop me into a better leader and grow my organization back, which I've done.
So can you give us some insight into the conversation that you had with yourself that, so you're kind of this, you have this event, and a lot of people with that event would have taken this Y in the road, which would have been, you know, I'm not going to build that again. It just happened to me again. What's the point? You know, like resentment and negativity. And you went with, I'm going to double down and build it again, and I'm going to learn my lessons. That doesn't necessarily prevent it from ever happening again. But can you tell us about the conversation you had with you at that nexus point, and what contributed, if you can nail it, to you deciding to double down and build on anyway?
So I'm a big fan in you're looking for people that are looking for you. And if someone is in your company and it's not in their heart, not in their mission, and it's no longer aligning with where their life is supposed to go, then what happens is it ends up being a negative energy that drags down that whole leg. And this was a lesson I had to learn. I had this conversation with myself, like, did those leaders leaving, am I going to let that define me? Am I going to let it crush me? Am I going to be sad? And yes, I was sad, of course, because you work closely with people in network marketing. You become family. And this is the first time it happened to me. So I hadn't developed that thick skin yet that we all kind of need to get in this business. And so it was my first major blow to the gut and to my ego and to everything as a leader. So it was crushing. And at that time, you know, I had to manifest and decide in my mind, where is my vision for where I want to be and what kind of people do I want next to me? And so at that point, I put my head down. I put my blinders on. I, you know, didn't let it affect my belief level, because that's where you waver, is when it affects your belief level.
Right.
And so I did not let that happen. I stayed close to my upline mentors. I stayed close to my the leadership team in my company. I stayed close to the owners, just so that we could all kind of get through it together. And that's what you have to do in any company. And at the time, I know, just like every single one of you guys knows, the biggest thing to create new and excited energy in your team is to go on a recruiting spree. So I put my head down and I went on a 3-month major recruiting spree. And out of that recruiting spree, I now have, you know, one very big leg and five, you know, developing, budding mini legs. And so it's like that we're developing leaders over and over and over in this business. And that kind of showed me what I'm made of. And it also helped me to grow immensely as a network marketing professional, that experience. So I'm grateful for it.
So tell us about the recruiting spree. So you have 3 young kids. How many clinics do you have now?
I've actually downgraded to only 2 clinic locations and only 1 day a week at each.
Oh, so you're working 2 days a week as a doctor. Okay.
Yeah, and they run with or without me.
Great. So what does a recruiting spree look like for you? How do you organize your day And what are your action steps to go on a recruiting spree?
This is a perfect question because I think that everyone listening needs to just put their heads down right now and go on a recruiting spree. Because that's what will grow our profession, network marketing, to the next level. Is if everyone collectively in network marketing just did a recruiting spree 2 to 3 times a year and got good at the skill sets needed to do so. So I decided, okay, I want to recruit 30 new people because if I get 30 new people, law of numbers, 3 of them will actually become leaders or superstars. So out of that, I believe I got that. So I will put check marks on my whiteboard. You can see my whiteboard behind me. I'll put the numbers with a box and I'll check the box when I'm recruiting. And what I do, because sometimes if you recruit too many, some will fall through the cracks and will fall off because you're not able to support them the way they need. So I'm not a fan of massive amounts of numbers if you can't support them. But if you choose quality prospects over quantity, and you support the quality ones, the ones that are worth the effort, the ones that deserve your attention, and the ones that actually prove with their action steps that they want it, then it's worth it. And so you want, pick a number. I'm a big fan of what you focus on grows, and you have to have that laser sharp focus. You have to not be in management mode at that time. Which means just managing your team and not really in action yourself, prospecting, but you have to be focused 100% on the prospecting. And so, yes, obviously you can still support your team here and there with three-way calls, but majorly your focus is on prospecting, bringing in new and excited energy, focusing on recognition and shout-outs in your team page. And then teaching them to duplicate that because it creates this new little spiral of excited energy from all the new people.
So could you give us more precision on what does your day look like when you're in recruiting mode? So if you're going to recruit 30 people in 30 days or 90 days, that's basically 4 people or 3, how many is that? That's like 1 person a week, right? Well, 30 and 30, it's like 39. So that's 2 people a week, basically.
Yeah.
So what are your ratios? So if you're going to recruit 1 person, how many presentations do you find you need to do?
So I'm a fan of Zoom. Obviously, we're on a Zoom right now. And I'm a fan of like coffee shop meetups. So if I have a networking notebook, which is just the notes list on my phone. I'm writing down names, I'm keeping the notes on how many times I've talked to them, and my goal is to get them offline. If I'm talking to them on Messenger or by text, my goal is to get them on a Zoom or at a coffee shop, breakfast, lunch meeting. Yes. So I have my passion planner here that's like my best friend. It goes with me everywhere, and my whole goal is just to fill up my calendar. And so I know I have 3 days a week that I'm working my network marketing business. I want to have a breakfast and lunch or several Zooms with prospects on each of those 3 days. And my recruiting ratios are better now than they used to be because now I have credibility. I've worked hard on my branding. So people listen to me. At the beginning, I would use my upline. So if you don't feel like you have credibility, at the beginning when I launched, I just said, I'm going to get 1 person a day on the phone with my upline, Sonia. And that's what I did. And so you don't have to feel like you have to go on these appointments by yourself or on Zoom by yourself. Use your upline mentor, whoever's active, whoever's a leader closest to you that can you can really grab hold of, and they can help you with those.
Beautiful. So your numbers are pretty staggering. Of course, you told me that Imperium, the first 3.5 years, you didn't distinguish between distributors and customers. Everybody was the same. So a lot of these may have been customers, but you personally sponsored about 100 people your first year?
I did. I really went into massive action and did as many as I could get in that would stay. Because a lot of people try the products, decide they're not for them. Other people will do it for 3 or 4 months and fall off. And then there's those that have that amazing testimonial and they just want to tell everyone they know in any network marketing company, because I believe network marketing companies have the best products on the market. They have to be pretty phenomenal products in order for it to be turned into a network marketing business.
Right. So, and what that's grown into is a team of 12,000 people, and that's including in year two losing half of your team and then rebuilding in year three, and that was only a year and a half ago, and annual sales of about $3 million a year. So that's a business worth $3, 4, 5 million. Congratulations, 4.5 years part-time. So, Dana, tell us this. What is the biggest mistake that you've made in 4.5 years? Maybe it was a one-time blunder, and maybe it was just a bad habit. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a mistake that's related to your income or your build. It could be a mistake where you paid a price personally, health-wise, integrity, relationship, anything. What's the biggest mistake you've made?
I've made a ton. I can't even think of just one. I was telling someone the other day, man, I was really bad my first year. I was really, really bad. I think that there is always a time in any network marketing business where there are times you can cut corners. My biggest mistake, and I still remember this to a T, and it actually wasn't even me, it was someone on my team, but the leader always has to take the fall for that person on your team, especially if you knew about it. And so there's always a choice, be ethical or cut corners, and maybe no one will know. And I learned a really hard lesson in my first year. I just remember crying and being on the phone with the VP of sales and being on the phone with my upline and how can I make this better? And it was a lesson for my team because I had to reprimand my team member or coach them, you know. And I was literally just learning myself. So I think those types of experiences are what shape you into the leader you're going to become. And it taught me, hey, make those hard decisions at the beginning. Make sure people know it's not okay to cut corners. Make sure people know that's against policies and procedures. You have to be the one to stand up and do what's right because they're going to duplicate you. And so what I found is that this one team that was cutting corners, the top one was, all of it duplicated down. And it was like something that after it became a monster, everyone was being taught the unethical way. And so it was like, had to go through and try to take that back and fix it. And so that's always a really good lesson that I think everyone has to go through at least once.
Well, congratulations for having the courage to do the hard thing, because most leaders don't. Most leaders just let it go because they don't want any rub on their volume, and they don't want to lose any people. So they let ethics go, and that just becomes then part of your culture. What about the smartest thing you've ever done?
The smartest thing I've ever done.
Could be one thing, or it could be your best habit.
Okay, so, I mean, this is one thing that I do think that you should start doing. I'm sure a lot of you are doing it because network marketing is a heart-centered profession, but look for people that are good people. You want the hustlers, you want the ones that work hard, yes, but when you're recruiting, your best prospect is going to be the person that has the biggest heart and that their light shines, you know, from within. And so those are the people you want on your side. Those are the people you want on your team, and you want that to duplicate. So recruiting heart-centered people that know how to work hard, that still have a hard work ethic, and that still get things done. But there are a lot of people that get things done and might be hard workers, but they might not be the best people with integrity and character. And so you just want these people literally become your family, and you get to choose who you work with. Right. So the smartest thing I've ever done is choosing really awesome people with integrity and character and have gigantic hearts of gold.
So tell us about a couple of those people. Tell us a couple of success stories, people that you knew that you invited to take a look. Maybe you taprooted beneath them and found somebody really engaging to take a look. But tell us who that person is, what they did for a living, how you connected with them, and how their life has changed. So the part of the interview here is, tell us some case studies of lives that you've changed because you had the courage to invite them to take a look.
Okay. Oh, I love this. Okay. I have so many of those stories. So that's the best part about network marketing is the lives that you touch or change, you know, inadvertently. So I have the story of Tara. And Tara is a mom of two, and her son has a sensory processing disorder. Tara was a result of one of my recruiting sprees. I went to breakfast with a good friend of Tara's, Amber. And Amber's amazing, incredible. Amber joined my team. Actually, you met Amber at GoPro. I introduced her to you 1 year. So Tara, or Amber, is now in my business. She's amazing. She's a leader. She introduces me to Tara. And Amber sat back and let me mentor Tara. And Tara became now one of the top leaders on my team. And she has a beautiful story. She had $25 in her bank account when she joined. Her son's health was good. She had gotten her son's health really wonderful. She's a health coach. But with our products, was able to take him to the next level, to where he was behind in school before. Now with our products, he's reading chapter books and is doing incredible. So for her, the health of her son, plus for her financial, because her and her husband were struggling financially, only $25 in her bank account, and now she's making average, you know, $6,000 a month and growing. And it's just been life-changing for her family and for her, the health of her family, you know. So that's one story. I have another story, a mom, a former CFO, and she built a $5 million business in another company, network marketing, and she fell madly. She was already looking for a change. She fell madly in love with our nutrition model, and she has run with it for the health of her kids. You know, she built another, you know, huge organization with us, but the health of her kids is what is incredible. Her children are thriving. She's a stay-at-home mom, single mom, and she is doing nothing but coaching her kids. You know, on all their sports and working her nutrition business with Purim, and she's rocking and rolling. Super smart former CFO and investment banker. And so her story is really pretty phenomenal. Stephanie, do you want me to go on? I'll keep going.
She's good. Those are great stories. So what did you say to Stephanie that got her attention?
So Stephanie was good friends with other top leaders on my team, Richard and Donna Griffin. And they went to lunch with Stephanie. Then they connected her, or dinner with Stephanie, got her signed up with the products. They connected her with me about encouraging her to do the business. And so when I was talking to her, I always believe that the people that are meant to be in your business, if you just have a conversation with them, you'll know if your hearts connect. So that's what happened with Stephanie. We just had that heart connection moment. And at that moment, I knew she was meant to be in my life and in my business, and that we were going to do great things together. And so you just have to, sometimes we don't listen to our intuition. We don't give it a chance to really feel, you know, we're interviewing these people. We're checking if they're going to be a part of our lives for years and years to come as we build our business. And so, and we also are interviewing to see if they're going to go to the top with us. So that's what I did with Stephanie. It was a heart connection. And basically, it all comes back to the mission. You know, with health and with any company you're in, you have to have a super powerful connection, heart connection with that mission of your company, whatever good they're doing in the world. So that's what it comes back to ultimately. And then the time freedom of building residual income for her to be able to stay home with her kids.
Right. Beautiful. All right. Let's shift gears a little bit. Tell us about your book.
Okay. Magnetic Soulpreneur. And
I
amazing.
Have one here. You got one? Oh, good.
I need to send you one. I know I sent one to your beautiful wife.
I have one somewhere. I just don't have one at the ranch.
So at the time, when I was writing my book, I love Kimmy's four-year career. I'm in her last series, or what's it called? Her last one of four-year career. She featured me, right, which was beautiful. And I love her book for just explaining the model of network marketing. The reason I wrote my book is, first of all, I wanted, and no offense to you, Richard, because you're doing magical things, and I know you have a large organization of women that you lead as well, but I believe, I think 75% of network marketers are women. And as far as books out there, the leading books in our profession are written by men. Right. And I know a lot of the top leaders are men, but their organizations are largely female. So I knew we needed a, not only a holistic minded, because I'm a holistic doctor, so I have some nutrition pointers in there, living your best life pointers and tips, but how to build an organization of largely female. And I believe it talks about attracting, inspiring, bringing those people into your life, and then also talking about building your network marketing business with heart and soul, doing it with purpose-driven, making an impact on the world, and making that be your motivator, and then more good will come out of your business.
And where can people get it?
They can go to magneticsoulpreneur.com, and they can get it for free. It's just, they just have to pay shipping.
Wow. And how about Amazon? Can they get it on Amazon?
Yeah, they can get it on Amazon, too.
But they have to pay for it on Amazon.
They have to pay for it. Either or.
Well, I think that's brilliant. I think every leader in our profession should write a book, because it's great branding. And I have not read yours, but I know it is in the home somewhere because I've seen it, but I'll have to read it. I look forward to that.
Good.
So what is in the future of Dr. Dana McGrady? What are you going to do in the next 2 or 3 or 4 years? What's the plan?
I mean, I think there's magic in the mundane. You know, that every, yes, we obviously build a network marketing through campaigns, but we still have to do the same stuff every single day. Go down to the bottom of the mountain, find that superstar, help push them up their wheelbarrow all the way to the top, and then go back down and find another superstar and help put, you know, so I like working hard. I have a lot of passion in what I do. And so I don't expect now to be any different than 4 years from now, but I just expect for the organization to have grown, for more lives to be impacted, and for more leaders. Like, you just want to help your people win. You want to help them create the financial freedom for themselves. So that's what I'm just focusing on. I have a lot of incredible people that I need to just help them achieve their dreams.
Beautiful. Okay. So now, the people listening to this, Dana, are, for the most part, as you might imagine, struggling. They're new. They haven't really got their groove yet. They just, the lights all haven't come on. They haven't been to the event yet, or heard the speaker yet, or heard it in a way yet, where they just say to themselves, oh my gosh, I can do this. So, you know, until that happens, they're struggling. And that's okay, because that's part of the journey. You know, that's part of where we learn. And if you just come in the business and from day one you're massively successful, you have sometimes a little challenge relating to the person who's struggling. So I would say that most of the people listening to this, they haven't really caught the groove yet, so they're tapped into a hero call looking for, maybe this could be the conversation that lights it all up for me. And I also want you to think, Dana, that it's not just people listening this week. this could be people listening 6 weeks from now, 6 months from now, 6 years from now. And they could be listening in Florida, where you live, or they could be listening in Hawaii, where I live, or they could be listening in Africa, or Russia, or South America, or anywhere in the world. And what they're looking for out of your interview is, turn the lights on for me. Say it in a way that I can get out of my own way and go do this thing. Because as you and I know, when we actually decide to do it, when we give ourselves those green lights and we just go, we look back and we go, wow, I really made this difficult, and it wasn't that, it's not that difficult, right?
Yes.
But what would you say to those people that are out there? And let me put the pressure on you. Let's just say that you are the last person who's ever going to talk to them about them making it in their network marketing company. And if they don't get it from you right now, they're not ever going to get another opportunity to get it. What would you say to them?
You just put me in like the boiling room. I would say you're worth it. I would say you're worth it. When you give up on your dreams. You give up on yourself. You give up on your future skill sets, and you also give up on the future people you're meant to impact. You know, so you're giving up on so much. For me, I was bad. I was really bad. I could have given up a lot. I could have said, "This, I'm not cut out for this." You know, all the rejection I got and the people that said no, and the tough, like the drama when I became an accidental leader, and just all of it, I definitely could have given up. But if I had given up, you know, 3.5 years ago in my first 6 months, which I think is the average, that's when the most people give up. If I had given up, I would have given up on all of the incredible memories that I've made, the friends I've made, you know, the life moments, the inspiration, the breakdowns that led to breakthroughs. You know, I would have given up on everything that made me the person I am right now. So if you're listening and you're thinking, should I give up? First of all, if you're listening to this podcast, you don't want to give up. You want to find a way to make it work. So let's just acknowledge that right now. And secondly, I want you to know that it is worth it. The struggle is worth it. You are worth the struggle. And you have to go through the struggle to get good. You've got to be bad before you're good, and good before you're great, and great before you're awesome. And honestly, I don't think Richard or I have gotten to the awesome part yet. We're all still learning and struggling. I would say link arms with the people that believe in you, because there's someone in your upline that believes in you. Link arms with them, you know, really have the people in your circle, get rid of the cynics, get rid of the naysayers, get rid of the haters, and stick with people that get it, that are entrepreneurs and that see a big vision for you. Sometimes you have to be around people that see a big vision for you before you see it in yourself.
Beautiful. And you know what occurred to me in listening to you, Dana, is if you'd have given up, you'd also given up on all the generations, 12,000 people whose lives have been changed, many more whose lives have been changed with the product. And some of those 12,000 people, I mean, their lives would be radically different without you. Without your courage, without your leadership, without your vision, mostly without your decision to just go do it. And, you know, what I might liken your decision to, because you came out of the shoot as a new distributor, very productive and very successful. So for those of you that are out there, you know, perhaps with doubts and frustrated, and you don't, the lights haven't come on yet, the decision I would point to for you to look at that Dana created was not the decision when she was brand new, because she perhaps didn't have the same challenge that you might have now. She came out of the box just producing. But the decision she made after 2 years when half her team quit, I mean, that's tough. That is a tough place to come from, to decide to rebuild, to offer generosity to those people that quit as they, you know, perhaps take more and more people off your team. And, you know, decide to rebuild even knowing it might happen again. Because, you know, it happens. People are people, and, you know, they tend to go wherever they think they can be the best and wherever they're the most appreciated or wherever they're spiritually aligned. And so, you know, you don't own them, and you don't necessarily have them all forever. So your decision, Dana, to rebuild, you know, remarkable courage, remarkable motivation, remarkable self-talk to create, you know, green lights for you to go produce. And folks, that's all there is for us to do. So, you know, some of you have heard my not-so-secret formula. And if your company changed their compensation plan, and instead of, you know, getting paid whatever on 9 different levels, 19 different ways, what if your company just paid you $500 for everybody that you invited to take a look at your opportunity, but you had to invite one person a day? Notice how that might just change the game for you. Notice how you might be able to see yourself doing it. And so what I found after 42 years is it really doesn't have anything to do with your ability. It doesn't have anything to do with your marketplace, your connections, your credibility. All the superstars in our business have overcome those kind of things. It really is you doing enough homework and enough, like, digging deep on your compensation plan, your products, your upline, the successful people in your company, so that you can decide that the work is worth it. Because the only difference between you trying to figure out if you can do this and a comp plan that pays 9 levels 19 different ways and a comp plan that pays you $500 to invite one person a day is the $500 for one person a day, you believe the work is worth it. The other one, you're not sure if the work is worth it, right? Mm-hmm. But Dana, you proved the work is worth it. And everybody else that's ever succeeded, you know, we're also fortunate to have somewhere in our upline, there's a multimillionaire that's built a super successful business. Our same comp plan, our same products, same culture, same system, and we can all tap into those. So, great words of advice, Dr. Dana. And here's your choice. You have a choice in parting ways as we wrap this up. You can turn the tables and ask me a question.
Ooh, okay.
I have no idea what that would be. Or you can go ahead and put whipped cream on this and leave people with your parting inspirational thoughts.
Oh, man. I really want to ask you a question. I want to know about yours and Kimmy's first kiss. And make it a romantic story, buddy. I think everyone listening wants to know.
So, Kimmy was a client. Kimmy was a coaching client who was making like $75,000 a month in her company, and she came to one of my workshops, a all-day Mach 2 seminar, and afterwards she hired me, and so we got on the phone. She lived in Hawaii, and I lived in Idaho, and I said, well, why are you hiring me? What do you want to accomplish? And she said, I want to be the number one networker in the world, and I want to make $1 million a month. And I thought that was kind of funny. And so I asked her why she wanted to do that, and she didn't have a really good reason. So we quickly called an audible and figured out something else that was more real and connected for her to go for. And so anyway, I coached her. I'm not good at time, but I'm going to say for 6 months. And it started off being a once-a-week coaching program for an hour. And then her company ran into all kinds of messy problems and ended up getting acquired, and she didn't even know it was getting acquired. So because of all that drama, we ended up talking, you know, sometimes two or three times a week. And then something started to happen, and we ended up talking like every day. And then we started talking like two or three times a day, and then we started texting all the time. And then she fired me. Yeah, she sent me an email, and she said, "I'm firing you as my coach because I'm in love with you." And so I want to have a relationship. I'm telling you more than you wanted to know, Dana.
I want to know it all.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. So here's like the funny part about this. So all these conversations for all these months, sometimes two or three, four times a day, she never asked me one personal question.
What?
She never asked me, "Are you married?" She never asked me, "Are you dating? Are you in love? You know, are you straight? Are you gay?" She never asked me anything. And I never asked her anything. We had a purely business. And of course, the last few weeks, perhaps it was fueled by something that at least I was not paying attention to. But so anyway, I was in a committed relationship. And so I said, "Well, what makes you think that I'm not married?" Or, and she said, this is what I think is hilarious about Facebook. She says, "Your Facebook profile says that you're single."
I'm totally thinking she's already been stalking you on social media. She knows all the answers.
Who pays attention to their Facebook profile?
He is a network marketer.
Yeah.
And she's a woman. We're worse than the FBI.
Yeah. So that kind of gave me a wake-up call, and I'm pretty transparent, so I have to tell you, because I had to tell her, because she went, "What?" She said, "Well, who are you in a committed relationship with, and how come I don't ever see it on Facebook?" And I said, "Well, because I'm in a committed relationship now for the past 2 years with my ex-wife." So we got divorced. But she's the only person I dated for 2 years. And the reason it wasn't on Facebook ever is her family didn't like me and her friends didn't like me, which is part of why she divorced me. And so she didn't want anybody to know that she was dating me.
Well, that wasn't going to last anyways.
No, it wasn't. So anyway, the first kiss, basically within the next, I don't know, week or two, I had to make a decision. Did I want to, like, keep beating my head against the wall in a relationship that obviously was dysfunctional, even though she's a phenomenal woman, my ex-wife, or take a chance on this, you know Kimmy, she's just, like, on fire, and she's just all love and all fun and all positive and uplifting and big vision and hard worker. And so I think she was somewhere stateside. I can't remember, but so I said, "Well, why don't you come and visit?" So she flew into Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and I picked her up, and I held her hand as we drove back to my house, which takes an hour to get to my house from the airport. And she said right then she knew. The kiss happened in the hot tub later. And that's all that happened in the hot tub. And she likes to remind me that that's all that happened when she came to visit me in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Well, she's a lady, of course.
So does that answer your question?
That does. I love that. That was way better than any quote I could have given.
For sure. So, yeah, we've been married now for almost 4 years, and She is just the light and the love of my life, and we're working together, which is fun, and it's all good. So, Dwayne McGrady, you were a tremendous gift to thousands of people, and what I love about these broadcasts is, you know, the long-term impact of them and the global impact. People will be watching this 10 years from now, and, you know, it's just, I think probably for you, perhaps not as much, but for me, you know, I had to sit at the feet of many people who cast a vision, who told me stories, who told me I could do it, who told me different ways to look at it before the lights finally came on. And that is the reason I do these hero calls, is there are some people in the audience that listen to every hero call. They've listened to 102 in the last 3.5 years. And I know it makes a difference for people, and you were a huge difference maker this evening. So thank you for taking time out of your Sunday and sharing your inspiration.
Thank you for sharing your first kiss story. That made my whole night. I love Kimmy more now because of this. But yeah, I, you know, my first year, I was obsessed with podcasts. I was obsessed with your podcast. I was obsessed with any out there that were any kind of skill set I could learn from someone else that had done it. And that's what you have to do. Just like you said, sit at the feet of people that have done it. Soak in all of their knowledge. Be completely coachable. Be a sponge. And learn as you go. And you get to earn while you learn in this profession.
Yeah.
So it's okay. You've got to fail forward. And you'll learn your skill sets as you go. Stay in it long enough to have success. Because if you quit, you're only quitting on all the lives you're meant to impact.
Beautiful final words. All right, gang, thank you for joining us for Hero Call number 102. We'll see you in 2 weeks for 103. Thank you, Dr. Dana. I'll see you down the road somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'll see you soon. Thank you, Richard.
We're over and out.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Richard Bliss Brooks' Network Marketing Heroes podcast. If you are inspired and are ready to create your own success story, then it is time to take advantage of some of the top network marketing tools available. Pick up the top recruiting tool that has prospects saying yes, the 4-year career and the 4-year career for women. Get your mindset right. Without a clear vision, success is lost. Check out the best-selling book on vision, Mach 2 with Your Hair on Fire. Learn to think like a successful person with this step-by-step guide on how to break through your self-imposed limitations. Mach 2 Vision Training is a 90-minute, 4-part video training where you get Richard to walk you through crafting your vision. It's a must for anyone looking to step outside the box and hit the ground running. For 10% off your order, use the discount code HERO at checkout. If you're serious about building your business, make sure to subscribe to Richard's blog for all the latest tools and articles. This success story is not typical. It is meant to inspire you and show you what's possible. It is not what you should expect to accomplish. Your income will depend entirely on you, your commitment, your work ethic, your leadership, and your ability to acquire customers and inspire sales leaders to join your team. Most people who start off intending to build a sales team do not maintain their motivation to continue.